it!
الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البتحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لصاخت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: وإذ أخذنا ميثاق بني إسرائيل لا تعبدون إلا الله وبالوالدين إحسانا. صلوات الله سبحانه وتعالى. In this 83rd verse of Surah Al-Baqarah, is saying, and when we took the covenant from the children of Israel to worship none but Allah and to have good behavior and dutiful behavior towards the parents. And that is the subject of my 10 speeches here. Ihsan towards the walidain. Being good behavior, nice behavior towards the parents, which is considered to be one of the wajibat, one of the obligations and duties of Islam. And not just one of the wajibat, one of the simple wajibat of Islam, but in fact one of the biggest of all the wajibs. Because we find Allama Tabatabai rahmatullahi alayh in his tafsir of Mizan, when he discusses the verse of Holy Quran talking about ihsan and nice behavior towards the walidain, he says that in this verse and even in some of the other verses of Holy Quran as well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning the subject of ihsan towards the parents soon after the subject of tawheed, which signifies the fact that if there was any other wajib available which was superior to ihsan and nice behavior towards the parents, any wajib superior to that. Allama Tabatabai says Allah would have certainly mentioned it after the subject of Tawheed and before the matter of Ihsan, who was the one again. But since there isn't any other thing mentioned after the matter of Tawheed, other than Ihsan towards Walidain, we can understand that it is considered to be the second most significant and important duty of Islam. And likewise, our scholars say that neglecting the duty towards the parents, negligence in this duty of ihsan and nice behavior towards the parents, is not tolerable by Allah. The way we find that negligence towards Tawheed, the concept of oneness of Allah, by doing shirk, associating partners to Allah, is totally unacceptable to God, because Allah can forgive any sin, and Allah لَا يَغْفِرُ أَنْ يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ. Allah does not forgive if somebody associates partner to Allah. But he can forgive all the rest of the sins if he wants. He can do so. Likewise, negligence towards this duty of ihsan and nice behavior towards the parents is the second most important aspect of, and the second most unforgivable sins of Islam after shirk. And we can understand that easily as we refer to several ahadith that I will certainly, inshallah, mention some of them in tonight's speech and in the next speeches to come. In Arabic we have several words, like sometimes we say walidain, the parents, your physical or biological father and mother, and likewise we use the word and ab. Meaning the mother, and ab meaning the father. In fact, ab is used in several instances, like they say abul harb in Arabic, the person who fights a lot, abul aziyas, the one who has lots of guests at his home, abul masakin, the person who takes care of masakin, of the poor people, the destitutes. And likewise, the word is used in the meaning of the root and cause and purpose for something, the foundation, the root of something. Like the person in old times, the commander-in-chief of an army was termed as Ummul Jaish. He's the root, he's the foundation of the entire army. Everybody relies on him. Everybody depends on him. And likewise they say Ummul Mu'mineen, to the wife of the Holy Prophet. They say, they call Mecca as Ummul Qura, the foundation, the root of all the townships. Mecca is the first house ever built for the worship of humanity. And it's the root of all the houses, all the townships. Makkah is called Umm al-Qura. And likewise, we call, the Holy Prophet used to call Hazrat Zahra, salam Allah alayha, to be Umm Abiha. A very famous title of Hazrat Zahra, Umm Abiha. I guess all of you must have heard. And Umm Abiha, because we find in the Al-Hadith Al-Qudsi that this is narrated in Safinat al-Bihar, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you must have heard the beginning part of that hadith, which is frequently talked about in the majalis, but unfortunately the latter part of this same hadith is less often discussed and told in other Islamic gatherings. I don't know why. But the hadith moves forward. It's a longer hadith, not just the first part, which is frequently heard. The hadith al-Qudsi says that مَوْلَاكَ لَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْأَصْلَاكَ. As you are out there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, addressing to His most beloved messenger, that if you are not there, لَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْأَصْلَاكَ, I would not have created the aslaq. In other words, the entire universe. Nothing would have been created if you were not there. So everything is created for your sake. You are the reason, you are the purpose of creation of the universe. The whole universe is at your service. It's for you. And that's what we hear frequently. But the hadith says farther. It says, وَلَوْلَا عَلِيٌّ لَمَا خَلَقْتُكَ. And if Ali was not there, I would not have created you. That means Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would also not have been created if Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen was not there. وَلَوْلَا عَلِيٌّ لَمَا خَلَقْتُكَ. Allah is saying. And the hadith still moves forward, which we still, lots and lots of people have not heard the full hadith. Hadith says that وَلَوْلَا فَاطِمَا لَمَا خَلَقْتُكُمَا. And if Fatima was not there, I would not have created both of you. Salawat. So, if Fatima sallallahu alayhi was not there, Imam Ali and the Holy Prophet would also not have been created. And we can understand that the rest of the universe, what we talk about the rest of the universe, which has no value, it's in the service of Ahlulbayt. Everything is a servant, is obedient, is under total control of Prophet and Ahlulbayt. So nothing would have been created. So we can understand that Hazrat Zahra is the purpose of creation of Imam Ali and the Holy Prophet both plus the universe. Now you get a slight glimpse of the reason why Prophet used to call her Umm Abiha. The purpose, the foundation, the root of her father. It's not without a reason that when she used to arrive, Prophet always used to stand up and make her sit on his place. So, in Arabic means the foundation, bunyad, asas, asl, root of anything. And the mother is our root. That is why Mother is also called as And in Islam, we find that Ihsan towards walidain, like I said in the beginning, is one of the most fundamental duties of Islam. We find in the hadith from Imam Baqir alayhi salam, that Salafun lam yaj'al Allah la ahadin fiha rukhsa. There are three things that Allah did not give no permission, no exception for anybody about those three things. There are no exceptions whatsoever. That these three laws have to be implemented by everybody all the times. There are no exceptions. Imam Baqir says, Salatun lam yaj'al Allah li ahadin fiha rukhsa. There is no permission or exception for those three laws for anybody. Everybody has to do all the times. And the first is that he says, Ada'ul amana ila al-barr wal-fajr. That means you have to return back the amanat, whatever is entrusted in your hands as amanat, to the owner. Ila al-barr wal-fajr, regardless of the fact the owner is a good doer or he is a fajr, he is a bad doer. Doesn't matter. An amanat is an amanat. You have to return it back to the owner, regardless of his belief in him, regardless of his behavior. You have to return it back. It's the basic wajib of Islam, without exception. Without exception, to the extent that we find that Imam Sajjad alayhi salam in his hadith, he says that لو أن قاطر أبي اعتملني بالسيف الذي, even if the murderer, Imam Sajjad says, even if the murderer of my father, and this is in the Hadith, even if the murderer of my father, Imam Hussain, just entrust me with the sword with which he killed Imam Hussain. And when he comes back to when he comes to him, take it back, I will certainly return it back to him. Look at the extent. That's why we find Imam Baqir alayhi salam is saying that Salasun lam yaj'al Allah li ahadin fiha rukhsatan. There are three laws, but there are no exceptions for anybody. You have to do it at all costs. So, and one of those three laws is that you have to return back the amanat of everybody. Whosoever gives an amanat in your hands, you have to return it back. And now our discussion is not about amanat, otherwise it itself is a very detailed subject of Islam. You have several levels and several kinds of amanat in Islam, and different regulations ruling over, governing over the concept of amanat in Islam, and what is the least amanat, and what is the al-amanat al-uzma, the biggest amanat in Islam, which is a very interesting subject on its own, and maybe some other time. But that's the first law in which there is no exception. Everybody has to do. And the second thing he mentions in the hadith is that وَالْوَفَاءُ بِالْأَهْدِ إِلَى الْبَرِّ وَالْفَاجِرِ. That means you have to fulfill your promises to a good doer and a bad doer, both. To a good man and an evil man, both. Regardless of his behavior. It's wajib. It's compulsory to fulfill your promise, obligatory in Islam. And we find that Hazrat Ismail ala nabiyyina wa alihi wa alayhi salam is termed as Sadiqul Wa'd in the Holy Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has called him the person who always is faithful and fulfills his promises. And we have a hadith from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam where somebody asked him about the same verse of the Holy Quran where Prophet Ismail is called Sadiqul Wa'd. And Imam says that it is because he promised with somebody and the person did not show up, and he stayed at the place for 1 year. That means he used to go at the same place every day till 1 year, but the person did not come. But he fulfilled his promise to show up at that place. And Allah, as a reward, in other words, Allah called him Sadiqul Wa'd. So about fulfilling your promise, there is no excuse for anybody. Everybody has to fulfill the promises. And the third thing which Imam Baqir alayhi salam is mentioning in this hadith, وَبَرِّ الْوَالِدَيْنِ بَرَّيْنِ كَانَا أَوْ فَاضِرَيْنِ. And here we come back to our subject, that the third point where there is no exemption for anybody is about good behavior towards the parents, بَرَّيْنِ كَانَا أَوْ فَاضِرَيْنِ, whether the parents are good doers or the parents are fajr, bad doers, evil doers. Still, you have to do good behavior and nice behavior towards the parents. And that's the beauty. We find in a hadith where Bakr ibn Saleh, one of the followers of Imam Muhammad Taqi al-Jayyad, Bakr ibn Saleh, he says that كَتَبَ سِحْرٌ لِي إِلَىٰ أَبُ الْحَسَنِ الثَّانِي عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. Abu al-Hasan al-Thani is the kunyat of our Imam Jayyad عليه السلام. So Bakr ibn Saleh says that كَتَبَ سِحْرٌ لِي, my son-in-law wrote a letter to Imam Jayyad alayhi salam, and in that letter, it's a long hadith, I'll let you know a couple, excerpt from that hadith, that he wrote in that letter that إِنَّ أَبِي نَاصِبٌ خَبِيثُ الرَّأِي. Bakr ibn Saleh says, my son-in-law wrote this letter to Imam Jayyad saying that my father is a nasib, is a person who has enmity towards Ahlul Bayt. He's a nasib. Khabith al-Ra'i, not just a nasib, but in fact he has very evil and bad opinions about you. فَرَأِيكَ جَعِلْتُ فِدَاكَ to dua ali, and he asked Imam Jayyad alayhi salam, what's your opinion? And first of all, he requests Imam Jayyad in that letter to pray for me, and then he says that I would like to know your opinion. How should I behave towards my father, who is a nasib, who has enmity towards Ahlul Bayt? And shall I start, you know, breaking away from my father and fighting with him, or I should still keep on having good relation in the sense of doing good behavior towards my father, who is such an enemy of yours? So what's my duty? And Bakr ibn Saleh says that Qataba al-Jayyad alayhi salam, Imam Jayyad wrote him back this letter, and he wrote in his letter that قَدْ فَهِمْتُ كِتَابَكَ, I understood your writing. And And he said that I know a little min amr abika. I know what's the situation of your father. I know it. And Iran wrote that as far as your first mother is concerned, about, you know, praying, he requested Imam to pray for him. Imam wrote back that lastu ada'u laka, I don't forget you in my prayers, I keep on praying for you. And it's a big blessing for anybody if Imam says that I keep on praying for you. If you just receive one prayer of a ma'soom, our lives will be changed. Because the prayer of ma'soom opens up all the curtains and all the obstacles and reaches straight to the arsh. And is the fastest. So Imam Jawad wrote that lastu ad'u du'a laka, and then he wrote that وَالْمُدَارَاتُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْمُكَاشَفَةِ. Behaving well, keeping your ties with your father, in other words, having good ties and keeping good behavior with him is better for you than if you just start battling with him and breaking away with him. And and with every hardship there is an ease. وَمَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرٌ. And Imam asked him to exercise sabr. فَصْبَرْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الْمُتَّقِينَ صَبَّتَكَ اللَّهُ عَلَى وَلَايَةِ مَنْ تَوَلَّيْتَ. Do sabr. Have sabr and patience in your behavior. Keep on doing good behavior towards your father and have patience and tolerance. And Allah is always with the muttaqeen, with the pious people. So this is the matter of your piety, to retain good behavior with your father, who has such a behavior towards Ahlul Bayt. And صَبَّتَكَ اللَّهُ عَلَى وَلَايَةِ مَنْ تَوَلَّيْتَ. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reinstate you and keep you hard and steadfast on the walayat of those whom you have accepted as your awliya. That means Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Salawat. So we can understand very obviously that doing good behavior even to a father who has such obedience towards Ahlul Bayt is still wajib, and there is no exception. The son and the daughter has to behave properly and nicely towards the parents, no matter what. In fact, in the one of the hadiths, we find that Jafar al-Ju'fi, one of the very famous companions of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, says that I asked Imam Sadiq alayhi salam that my father is not among your lovers. He's not one of those who love you. Instead, he opposes you. A similar kind of thing that we have just talked about. Shall I change my behavior towards him now that he started doing this and this and this against you? And Imam Sadiq and so on said, keep on doing the similar nice behavior towards your father the way you would have done towards a person who loves us. If he was a person who used to love us, how would you behave towards him? Keep on doing the similar behavior towards your father. A person came to meet our sixth Imam, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. And he said to the Imam that, you know, I have several sons, and but Ismail, one of his sons, Ismail has very good behavior towards me. He always respects me, behaves well towards me, better than the rest. And Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, I used to like Ismail. But now that you have said, I used to love Ismail, but now that you have said that he has good behavior towards you, my love towards Ismail has increased. So if we wish that the love of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam should increase towards us, this hadith teaches us to improve our behavior towards the parents. If we want to get beloved in the eyes of Ahlul Bayt, this is the key. This is the way how to become beloved in the eyes of Ahlul Bayt. Start doing good behavior towards your parents. Now onwards, make a commitment to yourself that I will start doing good and nice behavior and earn the pleasure of my father and mother. And we have become beloved of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam without doubt. And I guess everybody and each and every one among us likes to become beloved of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Once the Asma, the daughter of Hazrat Abu Bakr, she came to see the Prophet, and she asked the Holy Prophet that my mother, that means the wife of Hazrat Abu Bakr, my mother is a mushrika, she is an idol worshipper, and she is your enemy. She hates you. And sometimes what happens, she visits my home. Now I am a Muslim. She is an idol worshipper. She visits me at my home. How should I behave towards my mom? And Prophet said, behave towards her with love. And if she visits your home, behave with love towards her. And some of the scholars have even narrated that, according to the narration of some of the scholars, the Umm Habiba, who was the Raza'i mother of the Holy Prophet, Holy Prophet's Raza'i sister, because Umm Habiba, according to certain narrations, breastfed the Holy Prophet. So Holy Prophet's sister through this Raza'i once came to meet the Holy Prophet, and the wife says that when Prophet saw her, he stood up and laid his abba on a place and made her sister sit over his abba. And Prophet sat in front of her, facing towards her. Well, Islam has lots of adab and etiquettes about everything of her life. While eating and drinking and sitting and walking and standing and talking, and even about silence, we have adab. What to think when we are silent? We don't need to copy anything from anybody. Everybody else is supposed to copy from us. So Islam has even adab for sitting. Nowadays, unfortunately, we find that Islamic values are gradually missing from our youth, unfortunately. I've traveled to several places, and some places I find kids drawing, and even some elder people, you know, stretching their legs before the minbar, inside the masjid, inside the rambaga. The speech is going on, stretching their legs towards the scholar, towards the minbar. You can never find in any book of history, whether a Shiite book or a Sunni book or written by an Orientalist. You can never find in any book of history talking about the history of the Holy Prophet that he ever sat before his ashab by stretching his legs in the front of them. That never happened in the history. Not even once. They are mad about everything. Nowadays the parents are scared from the kids. How can we teach the kids? And the foods that we are eating is a long story. But inshallah, in one of the speeches I will talk about the foods and how it affects the kids and how it affects the parents, both. And what are the aftermath of those sorts of foods that are eaten nowadays. So, we have lost those values. The Prophet never sat like that in any gathering, never stretched his feet before anybody among his companions. So, and it's among the adab of sitting when you sit in front of somebody. So that he should need to look like this towards you, always turning his neck. You should always try to sit in front of him, face to face. And talk politely. Don't raise your voice. And let him finish. Don't interrupt if he's speaking. And if he has more knowledge than you, then be more greedy towards keeping quiet than speaking up. Because the hadith of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam says, we have people, I frequently travel a lot in Europe, elsewhere, in North America, we have people, well, I'm not a scholar, I'm just a small student of Islamic education, but we have witnessed people who are, whenever they, when they sit with the scholars, they don't let the scholars speak. They always keep on talking about things and things and things, and although they don't know a lot of things that they are supposed to learn about their own basic duties towards Allah, instead of interrupting and starting speaking before the scholar, if they have kept quiet, they would have learned a lot and improved in their behavior. Because we find Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam saying that if I... if I jalasta ila al-alimi wa ilmihi, when you sit towards a scholar and his knowledge. So see, you're not just sitting, a person is not just sitting towards a scholar whenever a person is sitting before a scholar. And Ibn Mu'in says, whenever you sit, when you sit before a scholar and his knowledge. So you're also talking his knowledge. Not just the scholar, but his knowledge as well. And when you start speaking up, a jahil person starts speaking up before a scholar, that means a jahil starts overcoming the knowledge. It can never happen. Jahl can never overcome the knowledge. Jahl has to submit. If it doesn't submit, it will lose and waste its own time. And harm itself, not the knowledge. The knowledge is ghani, is rich. Knowledge doesn't stand in need of jahl. Jahl stands in need of knowledge to acquire and remove itself. So the Amir al-Mu'mineen says, إِذَا جَلَسْتَ إِلَى الْعَالِمِ وَعِلْمِهِ فَكُنْ عَلَىٰ أَنْ تَسْمَعْ أَحْرَصْ مِنْكَ عَلَىٰ أَنْ تَكُونَ. when you sit towards a scholar or his knowledge, be more greedy towards listening than talking. Be more greedy. See how people have greed towards gathering positions, becoming president and secretary and treasurer and whatever. How they are greedy towards money, how people are greedy in the world towards worldly belongings. I mean, when he says you must be greedy towards listening to knowledge, have greed about it. So, I was telling you that Prophet, when his Rizai sister arrived, he spread his abba on a place and make his Rizai sister sit on that abba, and he sat in front of her. And the Rizai says that he had tabassum, smile on his face. Again, it's one of the alamat of a moment. Mumin al-mumin bishruhu fi wajhihi wa huznuhu fi kalbihi. Mumin is always like that. He has a smile on his face, and whatever sorrows he has due to the problems that he's facing from the people of the world who are against the divine values, those sorrows are hidden in his heart. He does not express. When you meet him, he is all smiles. So al-mu'min bishruhu fi wajhihi wa huznuhu fi qalbihi. So Prophet was smiling all the time, and he respected her a lot till the time she left away. And soon after her, Prophet's Rizai brother arrived. The real brother of the same sister. And Prophet did not respect him like he respected his Rizai sister. And those who were around Prophet, those Ashab, some of them, couldn't help. They were curious. They asked the Prophet, well, we saw you, how did you respect towards your Rizai sister, but your behavior is different towards your Rizai brother. Why? He said, because my Rizai sister respects her mother much more than him. So you can understand that if your behavior towards the mother and the father is better, we will gain respect from the Holy Prophet. We will be respected in the eyes of Allah. Because respect in the eyes of the representative of Allah is the respect in the eyes of Allah Himself. Salawat. In those times, the scholars, some of them were also used to know the hikmat. Hikmat. It was termed, they were experts of the herbal medicine. Or I can say otherwise, those who were the herbal doctors of the herbal medicine, used to have a lot of knowledge as well. I can say it like that. So, Fazil ibn Yahya al-Barmaki, he says that he had leprosy and sickness over his chest. He used to hide this problem from the people. Of course, he used to feel embarrassed if he exposes himself before the people. So what he did, he searched about who is the best doctor of herbal medicine in the country. And after searching, he went there, he met the doctor. But what he did, he did not tell the doctor about the real problem he had, that was leprosy. Instead, in order to test the doctor, he said that I have a problem with my feet and I need a medicine for that. And the doctor gave him some medicine and said, well, you come on such and such date, let's suppose after 3 days, but you don't have to take sour things. They are forbidden for you. What he did, he intentionally ate sour things, and including lot and lot of vinegar. And he came back after 3 days, and met the doctor. The doctor said, okay, I need to get your urine tested and everything. And he said, well, the dose you gave to me didn't work. I still have the pain in my feet. And after the test, he said, well, that is because you took the sour things and you did not abstain. And you ate a lot of vinegar. I can know from your test. Now that Fadl ibn Yahya understood that this is a very expert doctor, then he told him the real disease he had, that is leprosy. Now he came to the point. And now he told him, well, actually I was just testing you. I have no pain in my feet. I have this leprosy. And I don't want anybody else to know about it. And I came a long way to see you. The doctor gave him a medicine. But after he took the medicine, he came back, nothing happened. And I told you in the beginning, in old days, the doctors of herbal medicines used to have a lot of Islamic knowledge as well. All the Islamic scholars in old days used to know the herbal medicine as well. You can say in either ways. So the person said, well, the doctor said, I gave you the medicine and it is supposed to work. Now that you say the medicine is not working, it means you have a spiritual problem, not a medical problem. So let me know, is one of your parents angry with you? I guess one of your walidain is certainly angry with you. And Fadl was astonished. And he said, well, you are right. My father is angry. It's long days I did not meet him. I didn't pay a visit. I didn't take care of him. And he's angry with me. And the doctor said that till the time you make your father pleased with you, my medicine will never going to affect you. Because of the fact that the spiritual effect of our amal, the mukafat of the amal is a fact that we all believe in Islam. Every act that we perform in our life, good or bad, has an impact in our life, and we see the effect of that act in this world, plus we are going to see the effect in the akhirat certainly. Every act has an impact. And the service to parents, like our scholars say, it creates tawfiq. If you need tawfiq from Allah, do service towards your parents as much as you can. And your service to parents will create the tawfiq for you from Allah. It will provide tawfiq from Allah to you, the more you serve. We find once the Holy Prophet entered into his home and he found that Hazrat Khadija, salamullahi alayha, is talking to somebody. And there wasn't anyone in the room. When Prophet asked her, she said, Ya Rasulullah, the child, this daughter which is in my womb, when there is nobody around, she talks to me. And she says that, oh my mom, don't be worried. See, Hazrat Zahra is taking care of her mom even before her birth. Hazrat Khadija says that the child says to me that my mother, don't be worried. If the women in Mecca have left you alone, they have isolated you because you have married Prophet Muhammad, then don't worry, I'm here to serve you. I'm here to become, to get, to provide acquaintance and ills to you. And the similar thing, brothers and sisters, we find in the case of Hazrat Zahra, salamullah alayha. Once Prophet entered into her room and she was also talking to someone, and as Prophet inquired, she said that the child in my room, talking about Imam Hussain alayhi salam, this child in my room talks to me when I'm alone. And he says words that breaks my heart. It sets fire in my heart. He talks about strange things. The child says that Abul Qatil. The child says that I am the Maqtool in Karbala. The child says that Abul Achan. I am the thirsty of Karbala. I am the one who will be killed while I will be thirsty. The child says, Abul Mazlum. I am the Mazlum of Karbala. And the child says that Abul Ghareeb. I am the Ghareeb al-Watan. I am the Ghareeb of Karbala. As Prophet heard this, he said to Hazrat Zahra that, my daughter, this Hussain, this son of yours, actually, he's going to be killed between the two rivers, Furat and Dajla. He's going to be killed thirsty between the two rivers. And then Prophet told her about the Shahadat of Imam Hussain, Hazrat Zahra started crying and started weeping, and she could not resist, and she asked her God that, oh my father, will you be present at that time when my son Hussain would be slaughtered? And Prophet said, no, unfortunately I won't be present. I won't be present at that time. Will Ali be present at that time? And the Prophet said, no, Ali will also not be there at that time. Will I be there at that time? Prophet said, no, you will also not be there at that time. And Hazrat Zahra asked, then who will cry? Who will cry over my son Hussain? And Prophet said, that Allah will make a nation. Who will recall? Who will recall the sorrows of your son Hussain? And they will have the mourning of the Shahadat of your son Hussain. And they will all cry over your son Hussain. That was the words of Hazrat Zahra. But I guess that Hazrat Zahra, certainly she was worried about the Shahadat of Imam Hussain and the Muslimiyat of Imam Hussain instead. But I guess that her worries about Hazrat Zainab and Hazrat Zainab being traveling from Karbala to Kufa and from Kufa to Sham without hijab would have been much more. And that is why we find that Imam Hussain, when the revival says from the Maqtal that when Imam Hussain fell on the ground, Imam raised his head several times till the time that a person threw a rock on the forehead of Imam Hussain, and there was a blood coming out from his forehead. فَأَخَذَ صَوْتَهُ لِيَمْسَحَ الدَّمَ مِنْ جَبْهَتِهِ. And Imam took
a piece of cloth to wipe the blood from his forehead. And there was an arrow with three points that struck Elisha's heart. At the same time, Elimam, the poisoned arrow with three points, Elimam fell in the ground. And that is the arrow of Himmelah, because Himmelah had three arrows that he struck. One was in the neck of Hanukkah Yisrael, one was there, and the second one he threw on the neck of Hanukkah Yisrael of Bas, and in second Rewayat, over the arrow of Yisrael of Bas, and the third arrow was the one that he struck on the heart of Imam Hussein. And that was the time that Imam Hussein fell on the ground. But brothers, do you know why Imam Hussein was raising his hand several times? Why he was doing so? Because Imam wanted to look towards the Quran to see whether the enemy is attacking the Ahl al-Haram or not. Imam is so much worried about the hijab of Ahl al-Haram, about the hijab of Ahl al-Haram. Imam is constantly looking towards the Quran and defying that in the final moment, that shimmel was plucking the neck of Imam Hussein. At the time when he saw that the army has now started attacking the Quran, Imam addressed them and said, يَسْيَا شِيَةَ عَالِ أَبِي سُفْيَانِ إِنْ لَمْ يَكُمْ لَكُمْ دِينٌ وَكُنْتُمْ لَا تَخَافُونَ الْمَعَادِ فَكُونُوا أَحْرَارًا فِي دُنْيَاكُمْ. Oh, the Salim of Abu Sufyan, if you don't hold any religion, at least become ahlar, become the Musalif alayhim al-jina, because the ladies have no fault. Why are you attacking the ladies? If you want to do something to me, ladies have nothing to do with you. But Mawla, soon after your departure, you find that the enemy attacked the Quran, and they burned the Quran, and the Ahl al-Haram were taken as captives from Karbala to Kufa, and Kufa to Iraq. And there was a Munadi who used to announce, Hadihi Malat Rasulullah, Hadihi Samara Min Malat Rasulullah. These are the captives, these are the daughters of the Khalifa.
على رحمة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. إلهي بحق الزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها بعلها فرجل الإسلام قصى بلن فرما فرجل الكفر النفاق قصى نبو فرما انقلاب الإسلامي كي حفاظت فرما تمام علماء ربانيين تمام مراجع كرام بالخصوص رهبر انقلاب قصى ہمارے سروں پر برقرار رکھ تمام مجاہدین اسلام کی توفیقات میں اضافہ فرما تمام اسیران اسلام کو جلد سے رہا فرما تمام مؤمنین کی جان و مال و آبرو کی حفاظت فرما تمام مؤمنین کو وظائف شرعیہ پر عمل کرنے کی توفیق عطا فرما تمام مؤمنین کی مشروع حاجات کو پورا فرما مولا جو بیمار ہیں بحق باب الحوائج ابو الفضل عباس شفائے کامل و عاجل عنایت فرما ہمیں